This weekend, the dinosaurs are back. In Jurassic World, the park is ravaged by an Indominus Rex. The original Jurassic Park hit theaters almost 22 years ago to the day. Writer and science journalist Don Lessem had an important role on that first film, Dinosaur Advisor.
Which really means that you lend your name and they try to get you not to say anything. Because they've already decided what the dinosaurs are going to look like. And so when you come along and say, oh, that velociraptor is about the size of a poodle, they really don't want to hear that.
It's a velociraptor.
Jurassic Park wasn't quite Lessem's big break.
They had already swept all the popcorn out of the theater. They were trying to push us out. And I said, no, wait, wait. And like the last name that comes up right before copyright notices was me.
He says his real big dinosaur break was a few years later, thanks to a blurry photo of a bone.
I was a reporter for the Boston Globe, and the editor of the Sunday paper said, why don't you go do a story about some crazy dinosaur scientists? And the place to catch up to all of them is at the Society of Vertebrate Paleontologists. I'm walking along going after one talk presentation after another. All of a sudden, I come across a photograph. It's a little 3x5, slightly blurry photo of a giant bone. And I recognize this is sort of diagnostic shape for meat eaters, that this is a leg bone of a meat-eating dinosaur, and it's bigger than anyone that's ever been. So there's a fellow standing there who's the presenter. He's a young scientist then from Argentina, Rodolfo Coria. So I asked him, what's with this bone? This is bigger than anything. He said, yeah, this is about 10% bigger than a T-Rex femur. He said, it was found actually by a dune buggy riding mechanic in the Badlands in Patagonia. So I said, well, what's it going to take to dig it out? He said, well, you know, probably $6,000. I said, oh my God, that's possible. That's actually something that I could maybe help make happen. In the usual dig, it goes on for two or three summers because the first year you're kind of identifying, oh, how far do I need to dig? You know, where does this all end? Is there more than one animal? Is it a group? Second year, you've kind of refined your focus, and maybe by that year or the third year, you've got everything that you can out of the ground. In the case of Patagonia, this western part of Patagonia, just west of the Andes, is a very denuded place of brown mudstones, and it was rather hard on the upper level, and sometimes a jackhammer is used. More often than not, it's just a shovel, and when you get closer to the layer of bone, people on their hands and knees are working with tools as delicate as a toothbrush. It did turn out that more than 80% of that dinosaur was in the ground, and it was Giganotosaurus, as he got named, the giant of the south. So my big lucky break was also a big lucky break for paleontology, I think. And the scariest thing of all to think about is that related animals to this Giganotosaurus have been found by the same scientist, Dr. Coria, in the same area, to have traveled in packs. For me, the wonder of it is that this animal that once ruled the landscape has not been seen by anybody, that no one even knew it was there until a small group of people, and I'm lucky enough to be among them, got to pry him out of the ground.
Writer and museum exhibit developer Don Lessem. You don't have to bankroll a dinosaur dig to have a big break. Send us your story. My Big Break at npr.org.